Hello and welcome to Ask Backwards, the podcast where we talk about whatever the hell from the past, nostalgic things, what have you. Today we're talking about PBS, because when you were growing up, there were three options. Either you were poor enough for PBS, or you were... Okay, so you were either too rich and you were watching Cartoon Network or some shit, you were poor enough to be watching PBS, or your parents hated you, so you just didn't get PBS, because that's the only real option, other than too much money, for someone to not be watching these shows.
See, back in our day, internet was not a thing. At least not if you're poor. So, like, there's no such thing as, like, satellite TV. We were over here playing solitaire on the computer and watching repeat episodes of Kings and Queens. But when it was early in the morning, you had the joys of PBS. So...
Dude, I was so good at Minesweeper.
Honestly, Minesweeper was my shit.
Dude, that was such a goated game to come on computers. That and the pinball game.
Oh, yes. Dude, the pinball computer game made me love the actual pinball arcade 10 times more than I already did.
Like, I'm not gonna screw around and say, like, oh, this is the peak of gaming kind of shit, but back then, it kind of was, like...
And maybe if you were lucky, like me, your mom bought that one computer game that was good enough for you to play for 3 years. For me, that was Sims.
Yeah, So PBS, I feel like it holds a special place in your heart, because if you were, like... If growing up you only had basic cable, this was your only source of cartoons, of kid-oriented content in any way, because the options were basically, like, PBS, the news, and then some, like MeTV kind of things.
Oh, CW. You can't forget about the CW. Yeah. And I still memorized the channels. 3, 5, 8, 25, which was PBS. 43 and 55. 55 was CW. That's if you were in Ohio, at least. But, yes, PBS has a lot to offer to the youth, at least back then. After they lost a lot of funding and the government was like, oh, we don't see the point of even having this, it kind of went downhill.
Yeah.
But there are still some shows that are still around, but I'm way too old for that shit.
Didn't it always give you, like, a warm feeling in your chest when they were like, and viewers like you? Thank you. Like,
yes, I was also a very naive child, so like me?
I felt so recognized. Like, that was the precursor, like, that was the original, like, thank you for watching that YouTubers pull now, you know?
Oh yeah, facts. But, yeah, PBS had a lot of good TV shows. What was your favorite PBS TV show? Do you have one?
My favorite PBS, show for, okay, so it's gonna be one of the cartoons. I always loved cartoons growing up. I would have to say, all right, I always did love Word Girl. I've gone on rants about, you know, that I got the fucking rant locked and loaded for that, but I don't think that that one would be my top show. Arthur was always, like, everyone loved Arthur, and looking back on it, it was just a sitcom, really. Like, they never did anything that made it necessary for them to be animals. Was Johnny Test originally on PBS? Or no, that was a different one. No.
That was Cartoon Network, sir.
No, it got transferred to Cartoon Network later, but it used to be on one of the, like basic cable channels originally, I thought.
I have no idea.
But, Cyber Chase?
Cyber Chase? That was
I'm gonna have to land on Cyber Chase.
See, me, it was really in between Reading Rainbow, which, I'm gonna be honest, I didn't really see the joys of Reading Rainbow until I was an older kid. I think as a little kid, I'm like, ugh, reading, boo. But after, like, giving it a chance, I realized I love that shit way more than a big-ass purple dinosaur. So...
Yeah, Reading Rainbow, definitely. I have a few things from it that really stick in my mind. The one that always stuck with me was Cliffhanger. Cliffhanger just always... Going back to the cartoons. Just the, can't hold on much longer. And I actually, a few months ago, I had gone online, and I had gone to a video from Cliffhanger, and I screenshot with the, like, subtitles that they put on there, can't go on much longer, as, like, separate images. And then I use that to reply, like, in the comments on something that was, like, it left on a cliffhanger.
That sounds fried.
No, for real, that, like, ingrained in me, hearing him say that at the end of every story. But reading Rainbow was... Dude, that is so... That one doesn't even need to be put up as, like, a favorite show. That one is grandfathered in as one of the fucking goats of PBS.
That and Big Comfy Couch. I think Big Comfy Couch will never be slept on, no pun intended.
Oh, yeah. I love Big Comfy Couch. I really did. But, like, last time I brought it up to someone, they got weird because Clissy was a thing. And I just, like, they just immediately started being weird about the girl on it. And I don't know. I don't know exactly how to say how disappointed it is for something that you grew up being like, yeah, this is really nice, to be read it that way.
I don't know what to tell you, bro, because at 3:45, I'm coming in her. So, like...
I wasn't... No, because you were just... Okay. So, we don't have video. You were just staring at me in a way that made me feel like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be bringing this up right now. And then you just dropped that. And I'm just like, ah... she was flexible, though. Like, for real.
She was fine. She's how I knew I like women. She was the...
You learned it from the clown girl.
I knew from the gecko I was born to be a chuckalo, and...
Alright, so that's how we're going to be fucking taking this. Okay.
Listen, she was always an adult. Always an adult. And as a kid, you always... Everybody has adult crushes. And then as I grew up, she just got older and finer with wine. And I just leave it at that, honestly. But, yeah, Big Comfy Couch was my shit.
Big Comfy Couch definitely had an impact on some kids. They, like, some kids learned that they really love clowns in a way that they did not know before. I will say that.
Besides the clowns, okay, her cleanup time was impeccable, alright? Dude, I always imagined myself cleaning up that fast to the point where, like, I'm over here moving like a tornado, like the Tasmanian devil and shit, and everything just is in its fine place. I wish life really worked like that when I watched that show, honestly.
Dude, that was just like 3 times speed. Like, you know that was at least 3 times. Like, it was insane, but at the same time, like, I don't know. There's something so mesmerizing about sped up footage. People do it all the time nowadays still. But the way they did it, I don't know, maybe it's just kids have a weird fucking attention span when it comes to the TV, but, like, it was enrapturing to watch that. You know, for anyone that doesn't know, because we've been talking about PBS, but, like, to settle exactly what PBS was, it was a basic cable channel that had cartoons, shows for kids, and, yeah, just for any of the audience, because we have the internet now, some people might not know. It always had some educational or moral lesson to the shows.
Yes, it was really like school for TV for the kids, honestly. I always seen it as, if my mom wants me to watch PBS, then this must be my new fucking homework that I have to fucking do. And so there was a lot of shows that as a kid, I couldn't grasp it. Because, I don't know, when I think it's that mindset that when you're a child, you go to school, and it's like, okay, your main priority is to learn. And so when you get home and you have that relaxing moment of just being a kid, the last thing you want to do is more learning. And now that I'm an adult, I realize how fun it is to learn. Like, I love fucking studying history and seeing the gross effects of humanity, but at the same time... It has ups and downs, which is why we're talking about it today.
Kids are, like, naturally curious, and I feel like I was always naturally, like, I enjoyed the shows, I enjoyed learning from them. I feel like there's something about the school system that just crushes that out of a kid.
Oh, fuck yeah, because they made it designed to teach a kid how to work in a factory. It's been a proven fact. But besides that, I do want to talk about the worst PBS shows that I think was kind of out there. And And I'm going to name a couple before I start discussing them, but I labeled, like, the Electric Company, and it came out in the 1970s. It didn't last very long. I don't think more than just a decade.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm sorry. I think I might be referencing something else now that I say that.
Yeah, I have no idea what the fuck are you talking about.
There was, like, a thing for the Electric Company where they, like, counted to a tune. And I think I accidentally just referenced the 10 Dual Commandments from Hamilton instead. God, it's been way too long. It's such a... I fucked up.
Well, I only know the theme song because it came out in the 70s, but I have heard a lot of different reviews on it. I have that one. I have Caillou. You know, that spoiled little demon rich kid that literally does anything and doesn't get in trouble. And the mom is just like, oh, that's just Caillou. And this little spawn of Satan's going to grow up to be the next serial killer. No, yeah, that one.
Fuck Caillou. Like, everyone agrees, fuck Caillou, right? Like, we can all agree. Caillou just didn't even belong on the roster with these other shows.
I can't say everyone agrees because there are a few that did love that spoiled ass kid who. But
fuck those people.
And then there's also Sesame Street, which I only named it one of the worst PBS shows because me personally, I never liked Sesame Street. As soon as you put puppets on TV, I'm not interested. I'm sorry, but...
I mean, I'm gonna get pushed back on that one a bit from my own personal perspective, but go on.
Oh, besides Jeff Dunham, you know, like that whole thing, but... But I also labeled Sesame Street because they were under a lot of controversy for a lot of fucking racist shit. Like, I don't know if many people remember this, but they did have a black Muppet-esque character, and he was, like, fitting into, like, stereotypes of black people. He was kind of... he couldn't really talk correctly. He would say... It was just... His outfit, everything about him was just like, okay, you're playing on the black stereotypes. Cool.
Well, my understanding, Sesame Street was supposed to be a show made for, like, the inner city, like, to relate to kids who weren't, yet, who were growing up, like, in the city and, like, big, like, ton of people around kind of environment like that. But yeah, I agree, that's definitely not the direction they should have taken it. I don't know the character you're talking about. But Sesame Street's been around for a long time. I don't doubt for a second that that's a thing. Like, they had a puppet that was HIV positive at one point. And that was a big controversy, too.
Bro, I didn't even know that. But I can understand why they did it, especially with, in the 1980s and the 90s, HIV and AIDS was pretty prevalent, especially since there was a lot of blood transfusions where people weren't testing for it yet, so children were getting it pretty rapidly. So I can understand having that kind of conversation, but there's always a time and a place.
Yeah, and they've just been through so much over the years that I don't doubt that they've touched on a ton of messed up stuff that we don't even remember.
And then there's also their whole, one of their main controversies with Autism Speak, where they, kind of played into that mindset that people with autism really don't have full control. No.
It's not that they don't have full control. It's that they're... Okay, Autism Speaks is a terrible organization. I'll say that publicly at any opportunity.
Well, they have been proven that they have been, like, faking the statistics and pretty much lying about how
they dehumanize autistic people. That's the best word to use.
And I want to correct myself. I didn't mean to say, like, the kids didn't have any control. I meant to say the parents, because they're pretty much telling parents, like, look, if your kid has autism, you have every right to be, like, rude and, like, an asshole about it, pretty much, which is not the way to go.
No, they basically treat... I've heard stories about people who represent Autism Speaks calling kids with autism it. Like...
Yeah, and Autism Speaks is a pretty shady organization anyway. But they kind of separated themselves from Sesame Street during 2019.
But yeah, let's get into the next show you got for stuff, because... Or did you want to more on that one?
I was getting there, Ed.
Okay.
And then there's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I only labeled it one of the worst PBS shows because, again, this is just my opinion. This is not reflecting anybody. I'm not over here viewing Rotten Tomato, looking at reviews. I don't give a shit. It's just Mr. Rogers. Okay, it's kind of back and forth because during the times, the 1960s, we all know that people had very shitty tolerances of the LGBT. It's very common knowledge, but it's common knowledge as well that Mr. Rogers, the main character, he did have some homophobic views. But of course, that would not have the same, it wouldn't be the same thing as it would be today if he was making a Mr. Rogers in his prime right now. So that's more of just going after the times at that point. And then
I just never watched Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Up. To be honest, that just wasn't a show that I watched. I know nothing about it.
I don't know. Something about a dude staring me in the eye while he's taking off his shoes didn't really sit for me. But there was also Bill Nye the Science Guy, and I only put it as one of the worst PBS, because again, this is my opinion. And also, I kind of think a lot of these shows just didn't age well, which is why I put them as the worst. But Bill Nye, it's just, there's a lot of controversy with how Bill Nye approaches any of his fans in the first place, which I get it, like, celebrities, everything, they need their own space, and some people just take things the wrong way, but it's also the fact that he kind of had a bad, his popularity kind of went downhill after he decided to do the Bill Nye the Science Guy TV show later for adults.
Bill Nye Saves the World.
Yeah. So he had an episode called My Sex Junk, where he pretty much described for adults how each organ works and what it do, and it's pretty much birds and the bees for the adults.
I brought up to you, because we talked about this briefly before, that what bugged me about that show is a lot of the time, unlike his other show, Bill Nye the Science Guy, and he had another show in between the two, but I don't even remember what it was called, but he never really explained stuff as much. He would kind of just make a statement, and then they'd sing a song, and then they'd move on. So for Bill Nye Saves the World, they never really got into anything. And with the sex episode, I remember watching that, and I remember him saying, gender is on a spectrum, and we found scientifically that this is the case. And I was like, ooh, I want to hear about the science behind this, because it sounds like he's going to talk about how chromosomes can be different, how different, like, testosterone and estrogen can be in different fluctuating rates for different people. You know, because there is a lot of interesting science behind how people are affected by the different things that go into gender. And instead, they sang a song and moved on and explained absolutely nothing. So I'm just like, look, I agree with the stuff he's saying, but this isn't enjoyable to watch at all. Like,
yeah. So that's pretty much my stance on, like, the worst PBS shows. What do you think was the worst?
The worst PBS shows. Okay. I never watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. To say the absolute worst, Caillou is definitely, you are 100% correct. I don't disagree with anything, like, other than Sesame Street, but the points you brought up for Sesame Street are also completely valid. Damn. I have mostly just good memories of PBS growing up. So here I am, like, trying to think, what did I fucking hate? I'm sorry, I just kind of have to, because if you had asked me that before going through the list, I would have jumped and just been, Caillou. It's completely Caillou.
No, listen, I circle Caillou for that reason. I don't give a, I circle Caillou. Like, I need to remind myself.
Circle six underlines. don't forget, scrawled in the corner.
Go to hell, you jackass. Like, fuck.
God. But yeah, when it comes to, because I remember growing up, watching the cartoons, and all that really stuck with me was, this is a really great thing, because when I was growing up, there was split visitation between my parents, and I'm not going to get into, like, all that shit too much, but when I was over my dad's, he had basic cable. So that's where I would always be watching it the most, like, over his weekends and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was always, like, a really fun memory, because I remember watching Word Girl, Martha Speaks, Arthur, just Reading Rainbow, Cyber Chase, as I said, just going through Clifford the Big Red Dog. There are some shows like Daniel the Tiger that just left no impression at all. But ultimately, I can't really say, like, if I were to put a tier list, I'm sure there's some I'd put lower to the bottom. But if I didn't really like it, I just didn't watch it at all. Like, that's basically the sum up of what I'm saying.
No, I get it for sure. I mean, one that was always on my top of my tier list, no matter what, was Dragon Tales, dude.
Dragon Tales, you unlocked so many memories the moment you said Dragon Tales. Like, oh my god. I don't even know why it was so good. It just was so quality compared to everything. Well, not everything, but there was something about it that made it stand out. Like, I'm not sure. Maybe it was just like, you know what I just realized? Dragon Tales is an isekai.
What do you mean?
Okay, so an isekai is other world, like anime where someone like gets reincarnated or gets teleported to another world. The entire premise of Dragon Tales is these two kids rub this magic dragon scale and they get warped into the dragon world. Like, that's by definition, like, they're going to another world. It's,
on honesty, I really wish I was one of those kids when I was a kid, because, like, that was always, like, especially if you grew up in, like, a shitty-ass childhood, you're like, yeah, dude, escapism, that's the shit. That's why we clinged on to, like, Blue's Clues and shit.
That's why people like isekais now, just the idea of, oh, a magical other world, that would be way better than dealing with this fucking life.
I still say that today. But, yeah, there's a lot of good, PBS cartoons. One that really also stand out was Maya Miguel, and that one was kind of underrated, but at the same time, if you knew, you knew. And a lot of people, when they refer to Maya and Miguel, they always think about how she used to say SOS, which I only found out later and during my research actually meant that's it. So whenever you heard her shout, like, SOS, whenever they were, like, finishing the sentence, that's what that meant.
Like, yeah, most people, they think SOS, they think S-O-S, like, save our ship. And I think that's what I thought, like, growing up, and it never clicked for me that it meant something else.
Yeah, and that was another good thing, too, because it was, like, Maya Miguel, it was a Spanish PBS show to introduce you to a different culture, but at the same time, they didn't put that much Spanish in it, so if you were a slow learner like I was, you could keep up with that shit. But what's really good about the Maya Miguel, the voice actor Miguel played is by Nika Fotomen, who also played Adam Lion from My Gym Partner is a Monkey.
What? Fucking seriously?
Deadass. And then, Candy Milo, who plays Maya, she does a lot of roles, like, a lot, dude. Like, she's a really famous animated voice actor, but she also did Snap from Chark Zone and Cheese from Foster Homes of Imaginary Friends.
Oh, Cheese, the dude that was just, like, yellow with a flappy mouth that annoyed everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why they kept him as a character. Like, I know we're not talking about, like Cartoon Network stuff, but My Gym Partner is a Monkey, and Foster's Home, two of the greats.
Oh yeah, definitely. But, no, it's very nice that, you know, PBS, which is, you know, a public service broadcasting, can actually be able, at least back then, to get these voice actors, which, you know, with inflation, that would be expensive as fuck right now.
I did have a question I wanted to ask you about PBS. Was there a lesson you learned, whether it was, like, math, science, or friendship, whatever the fuck, that, like, just always ingrained in your head specifically back to a certain moment in a show?
Well, that is a hard question, because I do drugs. But, I think, I guess, friendship, maybe, but then again, I'm gonna be real. I always try to avoid PBS because it was an education service type TV show, so I tried not to let that shit get attached to me as a child, but at the same time, there were some shows and some, you know, lessons that kind of stayed with me. Like, Reading Rainbow, for example, I don't think I would like reading as much as I do now if it wasn't for shows like that, which was actually made by an educator, if you didn't know, and is one of the highest grossing TV shows that they had.
Oh, I didn't know that it was one of the highest grossing.
I mean, think about it. It lasted from 1970 to 2006.
It's definitely up there, yeah. Like, it is, you bring up Reading Rainbow, like, you can date someone. You shouldn't even ask for an ID when you go to a bar. Like, the bartender should just be like, hey, do you know what Reading Rainbow is? You'll understand right then and there if they're old enough.
Look, I'm tipping my bartender if they look me dead in the eyes and say butterfly in the sky.
No, but on the, like, lessons learned, there's one lesson that was about symmetry that was from Cyberchase, and any time I think about two things being symmetrical, the scene just pops into my head of them explaining, and this is what this type of symmetry is, and this is what this means. And they weren't condescending about it either. Like, a lot of kids' shows have this habit of, like, talking down to the audience, like, you see, that's part of why Sesame Street was kind of annoying, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is what this means. They were just like, there are three types of symmetry. This, this, and this. Let me break down for you. Like,
yeah, I love when you were a kid and you had adults that actually talked to you like you were a person instead of like you were slow and you didn't understand them. My mom always talked to me like I was a person, and so as a result of that, I started talking at a really young age, and the trauma made me have a speech impediment, so, but we're not going to go there. But I do want to correct myself, though. I did say Reading Rainbow came out in the 70s, I meant the 80s, and then it ended in the late 2000s. That was my apologies.
No, yeah, Electric Company, I think started early
70s. Yeah, started in the 70s. Sesame Street actually started in the 1960s. They're actually one of the earliest. Did you know that Sesame Street, when they first displayed black and white children playing in the 1969 episodes, Mississippi actually banned them from their public broadcasting stations?
I'm sorry, that was a genuine reaction. I mean, I felt like it was coming when you said Mississippi, but like, I'm just, seriously, Sesame Street got banned in a state?
They didn't like black and white kids playing, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
How dare those motherfuckers be not segregated after fucking Jim Crow? No, to hell with them.
It was the past. That place was fucking crazy.
That was complete sarcasm. Dude, I'm black, bro. That's why I say like that.
Yeah, let's just clarify real quick.
Yeah, literally.
We're cool.
Shit. But, yeah, I always thought that was interesting with Maya Miguel. And there was also, like, Between the Lions, which I don't remember. I just remember the intro. A lot of these, like, the intro stays, and then the episodes flee away, along with my problems.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about a bit ago. Like, only the shit that really left an impression at this point is really, you know, with you still. But it did have a lot that would leave an impression.
True, I do remember, like, Clifford, and then there was, in the later 2000s, Clifford's Puppy Days, and it was like...
I never liked when shows did that, you know, when shows were, like Young Sheldon, I don't know, like, people say it's good, but I just hate when a character is de-aged for a sequel.
Hey, nigga, I think it's good, too. I don't know what you're talking about, but...
That's just me.
No, I felt...
I'm sorry that I'm sharing my opinions on this podcast.
To hell with you! But anyway. No, I'm just fucking with Ed. Ed's my bro. But there was also... No, what really ticked me...
Just be mean and leave it at that.
Honestly, people would really think I'm like that, and I'm fine with that, dude. But The Adventures of Piggly Wiggly... Oh no, not Piggly Wiggly, I fucked up. Piggly Winks, bro. That was like one of the highest rated TV shows on PBS for kids. And somehow that shit surpassed like Sesame Street, Barney, and all that shit. I found that really interesting because I don't know fuck about this show. I know more about Thomas the fucking Train and Bob Building's ass than this.
Bob's Building's ass. Not Bob the Builder. Bob's Building ass.
And it's fucked up because when I said that, I just had like this imagery of like, I'm still in like my BBL Drizzy face. So every now and then, the image of Drake's meme pops back up in my head where he's popping that ass in some heels.
No, like, because Bob's building out. No, that was actually the title of the movie, you see, when Bob decided to build a giant sex robot. Bob's building ass. It was completely off the wall.
Yeah.
They were not ready for it. This was back before they understood, like, what you could get away with in a movie. They thought they could get away with anything. It did not go well.
That's horrible. Horrible. Bandit, yeah. Mississippi. Bandit.
Yeah, the theme where he had an orgy with all of his, like, vehicles, yeah. Like, just, it completely flopped.
See, it would have been better if you said tools, because that would make sense, bro. But vehicles, you're doing too much. This ain't Transformers. They ain't about
to... I feel like the tools would be harder to, like, because, like, the vehicles have something, like, a tailpipe or something. Like, you could work with that. The tool, like, his screwdriver or something, how's he got... Okay, he has a tailpipe, too. Never mind. We have gone really off the wall on this Bob the Builder thing.
See what happens when I say shit about Bob building ass? Now we're in a place that we can never come back from. But anyway,
I want to come back from it. This is part of it now. We got to live with this. I said these things.
He really fucking did. But there's just so many PBS TV shows, and then you got the ones that are like live actions, and like that's like Zoom, for example. Zoom was like one of my favorite out of all of them. There's just something about, like, a bunch of kids doing, like, makeshift shit, making shit that you ain't never heard of, and then fucking cooking shit that sounds weird, but it goes great together. And they're like, you can do it too! So you're at home trying to grab the wok. It just...
Yeah. I feel like... Okay, so one of the live-action ones that I really like, still partly animated, was Fetch with Ruff Ruffman. You remember that one?
Fuck no.
No, it was... It was a game show where they had like children who were doing like tasks and everything, but the host of the show was an animated dog named Ruff Ruffman. So he would send them out to fetch, where they would have to go out and do the challenges and stuff.
So it was pretty much a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, and it had a bomb intro song. Well, it was a scavenger hunt, but they also had like riddles and tests and stuff while they were doing it. Like, I remember one time they had to find the correct key, and there was, like, a pile of keys, so they needed to figure out which one would open a lock. And the correct key was made of a different material than the others. It was, like, iron or something like that. So what one of the kids did was he took down the sign that was giving them the instructions and made a makeshift, like, electromagnet to find which one was iron to get through the challenge.
Wow.
Like, so this
that
show,
sounds crazy.
Like, it must have been staged, because what kid is thinking of that?
Oh, yeah.
It's either staged or they got the same kids from Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Because these kids were geniuses.
See, Zoom was like my early version of like Destroy, Rebuild, Destroy. I don't know if anybody remembers that show on Cartoon Network.
Yes.
What was it? I think it was like Andrew. I fucking forget his last name. But he would just go on the show, get a bunch of fucking kids, tell them to fucking destroy a big-ass monument that someone made, and then they would build, like, cars for their challenges or robots or whatever the fuck they're building out of it, and then whoever loses watches their project that they spent 12 hours on gets destroyed in a fucking fire. That was made for me. It was made for kids who are going to grow up to be your future firework maker / chemist, or somebody who just likes have an adrenaline rush in general. That's where all the niggas who take selfies on type of skyscrapers, that's where they started.
This is the only Cartoon Network show that I remember them needing blast shields for. It was amazing.
It was amazing. And yes, I do remember the blast shields. That shit was wild. But enough about Cartoon Network. We always keep going back.
Well, Cartoon Network had a lot of good shit.
I think we're going to end up doing a Cartoon Network episode. That's what our subconscious is yelling at us about.
Yeah, we're going to have to do, like, old Cartoon Network at some point.
But anyway, yeah, that's pretty much what I have on all of these PBS shows. You know, it is really disappointing that they lost their funding, because in reality, they did teach a lot of kids in the 80s and the 90s a lot of core values. Do you remember your favorite PBS theme songs?
Yes, I do. There were...
Just one.
Okay, so the one that I want to say is Martha Speaks, which I know is kind of like an oddball one, but specifically because there was a moment in the song that really caught me, because you remember what Martha Speaks was about?
Fuck no.
Okay, so it tells you in the theme song, she ate some alphabet soup, then what happened was bizarre. On the way to Martha's stomach, the letters lost their way. They traveled to her brain, and now she's got a lot to say. It's about a talking dog that ate some alphabet soup and can now talk. But there was a moment in the song where the intro is like, Martha speaks and speaks and speaks and speaks, and then Martha takes over the opening theme and starts on, communicates, enumerates, elucidates, exaggerates, and like goes through the like a shit ton of these rhyming words and ends with hyperventilates. And that just always got me for some reason.
Honestly, I need to look it up after this because that sounds fried. And as a kid, I'd be like, bitch, what are you fucking saying?
But if I were to give a runner-up, it would be, I mentioned Fetch with Ruff Ruffman a minute ago.
Yeah.
That one had a really bomb intro song, too.
Hell yeah. I think mine would be Dragon Tales and Reading Rainbow because, like, butterfly in the sky.
Which one would you put as, like,
Top? Definitely Reading Rainbow.
Okay, Reading Rainbow goes first, and then Dragon Tales is your runner-up.
Oh yeah, definitely. Dragon Tales, Dragon Tales! That stays in my mind. I'm pretty sure Magic School Bus was actually on PBS 2. I'm pretty sure. We just never mention it. Magic School Bus, we see you.
Yeah. Magic School Bus, it had to be PBS, right? Like, thinking about that show, like...
It gives off PBS vibes. I don't care. It's a part of PBS now, if it wasn't.
If it's not PBS, it's honorary PBS. Like, let's be real.
But, yeah, that's pretty much all I have for today.
No, I did want to bring up real quick, like, do you remember Dot and Dash?
No.
Dot and Dash were, like, you know, the like, green girl and boy that was, like, between episodes of things and stuff would show up. They were, like, the mascots of PBS.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember a little. I just didn't remember their name.
Yeah, they were, I don't know why I even knew their names, to be completely honest with you, and, like, you could look it up later, but as a kid, I knew who they were, and I don't remember it ever being mentioned, because they would just show up in these little animated skits between the shows. I feel like a lot of PBS just kind of, they helped everything run together and feel like one consistent thing, but I honestly just remember that they were around, but a big part of everything.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. I did want to ask real quick, like, out of the shows that were on PBS, obviously there are a lot that, like, did or didn't leave an impression, but were there any for you that watching... I'm trying to think how to say this exactly. Were there any shows that just... had a moment that made you, as a kid, turn off of the show? Like, did you ever...
Barney. Absolutely. Barney? I seen that pink, that big-ass purple dinosaur with his weird-ass face and his fucking green-ass middle, and I... Like, I turned that shit off, dude.
So just, you just never watch it, never even try to form an opinion on it?
I don't know. Just a random stranger constantly saying how much he loved me just kind of...
Let's be honest,
Barney... desensitized me from the word.
Barney is so... Okay, can we talk about real quick the history of Barney being used as, like... People talk about Barney being used as a torture device. Like, theme song... Okay, so this might have just been, like, a thing from a movie or something. I don't quite remember. But it was people in sensory deprivation rooms with flickering lights and the Barney theme song playing on loop. And it's just... Like, apparently it was just agonizing for people. I'd need to understand more about the history about that, but I've heard so many examples of people talking about Barney being used for torture purposes.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's so many Barney fucking animes, and then fucking the Barney Vice City fucking Grand Theft Auto trope in the early 2000s. Yeah. That was funny. But do you have anything else?
Well, something else about Barney, actually, because you brought it up. There was a dude in a coma, and they thought that he was completely non-responsive. This dude wrote a book after he got out of it, but he was completely non-responsive in the coma. They thought that he couldn't understand, he didn't, like, experience anything. Turns out he was completely lucid the entire time. And the book he wrote was about his time in the hospital over those years, not being able to respond or anything. It was like a better chunk. It happened when he was a kid. He was an adult when he got out of it. And they played Barney on repeat every day, to the extent where he started using Barney as a way to tell time. And to this day, he says that out of everything that happened, the one thing that he cannot forgive and the one thing that he will never be able to get over is Barney. He cannot watch Barney. He cannot see Barney. The one thing that traumatized him about the entire experience was always Barney.
No, I felt.
And always Barney. I'm surprised Barney hasn't been the topic of, like, one of those indie horror games where you have, like, a mascot coming after you. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, Winnie the Pooh was, so that's enough for me.
Winnie the Pooh was the topic for a horror game?
A horror movie.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing, like, stuff about that briefly. Like, how do you even... All right, well, I think that we're about good, if that's everything you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So... I guess we'll just wrap up here.
I'm Trent. Still... That's Ed. This is Ass Backwards.
Yeah, Ass Backwards, the podcast where we talk about stuff from the past, nostalgic things, and apparently Bob the Builder's ass. So
say less.
I really wish I did.
Yeah.